Hello and welcome back to Cooking the Books with me, Julie Smith, the podcast which takes us through four food moments from the books of our favourite food writers. It's about all of life through the prism of food. And this week I'm with the queen of Turkish cuisine, Özlem Warren.
Here with sautés, leftover, you know, cooked potatoes, a bit of olive oil, add the spring onions, crack a few eggs, put his music on. Happy as Larry, you know, and every time I make it, I remember him.
We've met Özlem already on Cooking the Books when we talked about her 2020 book, Özlem's Turkish Table. But this time she's talking about the side of Turkish cuisine that perhaps we don't know so well, the vegetables, the sebze. Inspired by thousands of years of diverse food histories, sebze is a banquet of flavours, but always eaten together with friends and family. I asked her if it's this heart of Turkish cooking that has won her plaudits from Nigella and Diana Henry, no less.
Sebze has been a joy to work on. It's been a dream of mine to do it over 10 years. And I suppose you develop a rapport, isn't it? I've been teaching Turkish cookery over 20 years. You know, I've done that in the US, in the UK, in Europe. And I suppose, when you start sharing recipes or stories genuinely, authentically, it just automatically corresponds to that sort of thing. I mean, I adore Diana. I've been so grateful to meet her a few times, been so grateful to call her a dear friend. She's been an incredible support. And I know how much she loves to champion the authentic, original things, doable things in the meantime. You know, you can be authentic, wonderful, but at the end of the day, the recipes need to work. They need to be practical. So all those things in a way blended in sebze with an incredible team of, you know, photographers, editors. It's a teamwork, you know, it's not a one person job, but to be able to voice that wonderful, diverse Turkish cuisine in that stunning book, may I say, I'm not going to be too shy about it because I think it's a really beautiful book.
I mean, it really is a very beautiful book. And I went to your launch party at Dawn's Books last month and everybody was talking about how beautiful the book is. I think that makes a big difference, doesn't it? Hardy Grant do these things very well, don't they? They do beautiful books. The photography is really important, but the cover is an enormous statement, isn't it? And I think that's what makes me think it feels much more accomplished. It's very confident, isn't it? Tell me about that beautiful illustration.
Nick and Lou, what an incredible design agency. They really listened to us. One of the things I really wanted to showcase was the bounty of fresh food markets we call pazar, that I spent so much time with my dear father going and caressing the tomatoes and the aubergines and the bounty of it. You don't get one or two variety of olives. It's olives galore, cheese galore, everything. And they really understood that, you know, that the Turkish cuisine is based on seasonal produce. Let's showcase all those beautiful vegetables. Let's put them on as a centerpiece. But throughout the book, there's some stunning illustrations, chapter openers. In bread chapter, there's beautiful ode to the grains and, you know, all the ingredients we use. So I was very, very grateful that they made a beautiful book with us, and I think it will be a wonderful classic for many years to come.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk a little bit about sebze. It means vegetables.
Yeah.
And you're very keen, and as was the Turkish ambassador at the launch, terribly posh as well.
He was brilliant, wasn't he?
But both of you, very keen to promote the vegetables in the Turkish diet there, and to really kind of put the Turkish East Med diet on the map. Most of us would think about, as you say in the introduction, you know, most of us think about kebabs as Turkish food, but actually it is that bounty that you talk about, and that's why that front cover is just so important. Tell us a little bit about vegetables at the heart of the Turkish diet.
Sure. Turkish cuisine is really based on seasonal produce. And we have a fertile land, a a diverse land. So you have variety of vegetables grown all throughout the region. So go to the southern Turkey. There's all these beautiful peppers and aubergines. They can all also be dried to be used out of season. They could be pickled. Go to the Black Sea region. That's that beautiful Swiss chard, corn, chestnuts. Go to the Aegean with that climate. You have the fresh herbs. Middle Anatolia, more earthy stuff, more grainy stuff perhaps. But we have four seasons, so we grow a lot of really wonderful vegetables. Apart from the really exotic ones, we really have it everything. But they are also combined with whole grains and pulses and legumes. And I think that makes it is a bit of a feast. That makes it is of a practical feast and quite a nourishing feast too. I don't think I talk enough about how healthy Turkish cuisine and I keep reminding myself, I mean, we cook in olive oil all the time. We don't really use any processed foods. It's a very healthy cuisine too on that respect. And naturally, obviously, plant-based and gluten-free, many recipes are.
I mean, I was going to ask you about vegetables and health. I mean, obviously, publishers are looking everywhere in the globe for the healthiest diets. But actually, you know, Turkish cuisine is part of the Mediterranean diet, which is officially one of the healthiest diets in the world. Michael Pollan, I was reading Chris Van Tulliken's book yesterday about ultra-processed foods, and he quotes Michael Pollan saying back in 2007 that almost any kind of traditional diet is associated with health, regardless of what it contains, even the French, with large quantities of alcohol and saturated fat.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to ask you about that, because you're very much about eating together. Your photographs and your stories are all about people and families and long tables and cooking from scratch and eating together. I mean, is it that? Is it cooking from scratch and eating together that is so healthy?
Absolutely. You know, that's how I grew up. If you may remember our chats previously, my grandmother had this 450-year-old stone home. And at the heart of it was that marble table in the middle, under that pomegranate tree and lemon trees and walnut trees. Everything happened there. It is like a community spirit. Some would bring the aubergines, some would make the filling for the dolma, some would fetch coffee and tea. Whoever is around would gather and cook. And then you share. There was always extra place on a table because someone would always turn up unannounced, knock the door. Ah, merhaba Kemal Bey, buyurun, hoş geldiniz. Here we are, just about to eat. Why don't you join us? We always think food tastes better when it's shared. And I grew up like this. And when I started living abroad, I terribly missed that. Terribly missed that. I think that sense of togetherness, sharing, community. It is very much of a Mediterranean spirit. But I think, you know, when you look at in today's world, we talk about mindfulness, we talk about mental health and all that, loneliness. You know, without knowingly, we knew that we were doing it for thousands of years because that's how we operate, how we function. Families live together, grandparents, ananas, dedes. Food was always being cooked and a plate of it would go to the aunties and uncles' home, you know, so that they could have a slice of it. And I think it's a lovely, healthy thing to do, you know. Sharing is a beautiful thing, really is.
Yeah, and it is officially healthy. Your name, Özlem, actually means yearning and missing.
Oh, man, yes, that's me. Wherever I go, I miss the other part of the world, you know. That's what an apt name, right?
It's an apt name for someone who tells stories about her homeland. Well, she's lived away from it for so long. I mean, you know, when we first met, we were doing a fundraiser for the earthquake in Turkey.
And, we did,
you know, the center of that earthquake was in your hometown, Antakya. You know, that beautiful courtyard that you were talking about in the old town there, where your grandmother used to have those wonderful feasts. I mean, that old town was absolutely decimated, wasn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately. And I was so grateful we could do really good awareness thanks to you with our fundraiser dinner. But you know what was special? I was adamant to go back to Antakya as part of Sebze's history and food shooting. And dear Sam Harris, that amazing photographer extraordinaire, said, "I'll come with you, Özlem. Just take me, please." And we went to my dear friend, Meriç Çiftliği, Meriç Farm, just outskirts of Antakya, miraculously untouched, that beautiful oasis of olive farm. And my aunties and uncles came different parts of Turkey to join us. I haven't seen them since the earthquake. That was the first time we met. Some of them lost their homes, but they were so happy to gather at Meriç Çiftliği. And we made, there's some beautiful shots in the book that where we were preparing dolmas and mezes. And at that moment, it really gave us hope that this is our heritage. You need to hold on to that. And that's exactly what Antakya does. One of the very few places that started reopening in Antakya was bakeries. As a matter of fact, it's in one of the food moments I think we have there, because it's the heart of the community. Bakeries are community's oven. They not only make your flatbreads and what they're the regular bread ekmek, but locals take their dolmas and casseroles and they bake it for you. So all the folks after the earthquake would gather in bakeries. They exchange, you know, how are you coping? What can we do? They exchange ingredients, utensils, and just hold on to that hope. It was a really special thing to go back to Antakya, showcase local producers. There's some beautiful recipes in Sebze, like stuffed flatbreads with olive oil, feta and spinach, and talking about Antakya's bakeries, and to really remind the world that special part of place, and support them a little bit.
Well, let's go into that food moment. It's the stuffed flatbreads with olive oil, feta and spinach. Antakya's bakeries are, as you say, the community oven, and that has been the story for hundreds of years. I mean, probably more than 600 years. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. It's an ancient city, Antioch. It was in Bible, you know, and Antakya throughout the centuries had six earthquakes, big ones. So we know, unfortunately, that's the destiny of the city. And every time it rebuilt itself, this was particularly a bad one, unfortunately. But seeing how food heritage means to the locals, how it keeps them going, was a real important moment to understand and really support them. They hang on to that because it's all they have left.
Your second food moment is the farmers markets, the bazaar, in many places in the world as well, with your dad. This is the sautéed potatoes with spring onions and eggs. Take us to that bazaar with your dad.
Oh, my dear dad Orhan, the nicest, kindest person in the whole world, I think. You know, he would beam with a great big smile, even the talk of a bazaar. He loved going to bazaar, farmers markets. And we had, he had this little wheelie trolley that I would tag along with him, and we would go to bazaar. And he loved just handpicking vegetables, chatting with Ali the vendor, you know, how is the family doing, and what's the latest? And then going back to the nuts, because my husband adores nuts, çerez, and we have the most delightful pistachios and walnuts and whatnot. So we'd go to the nuts, so you could, let's get Angus's nuts, my husband's, you'll get Angus's nuts. Then we said, oh gosh, we're a bit tired, you know, let's just have a sit down and have a little gözleme at the gözleme stall, a glass of chai, watch the world go by. And what I love is the community spirit, that freshness of everything, and everyone taking the time, not much of a rush, especially at his age, I suppose, just really enjoying the moment, enjoying it. And that is an incredible memory in my mind. For the recipe of that sautéed potatoes, spring onions and eggs, one of his favorite things, he loved eggs, he loved potatoes. And my mom was a busy science teacher, incredible cook. But there were times that she was busy at school, late work, and dad would say, That's my moment. He would saute his leftover, you know, cooked potatoes, a bit of olive oil, add his spring onions, crack a few eggs, put his music on. Happy as Larry, you know. And every time I make it, I remember him. It's just simple things in life, isn't it? But so enjoyable. And I think it's an essence of Turkish cuisine. Nothing's complicated. Every recipe is in the book is really practical, doable, and really hope that folks will get the essence of Turkish cuisine with that.
It's a lovely memory. And since your first book came out, your mother died just over a year ago. It was just after the earthquake.
And absolutely, March, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a double tragedy for you. This book is very much about her and your parents, and you mention them a lot, and you mention Angus and their love for him as well. And I talk a lot on this program about, you know, the need to kind of go away to really appreciate the culture, the family, the warmth. And your third food moment is kind of all about that. It's about your nickname, Patlijan, which means aubergine. And it's what Angus calls you, your English husband. And tell us about what your father used to call your mother. Oh. And about that whole culture of
vegetable livers, all sorts of my father used to call mom canım ciğerim, my dearest, my heart, my liver.
Not just vegetables,
he,
then.
I know, yeah. He loved liver, so canım ciğerim. It's more of an Antakya thing, I think. It's just so food terms are so so engraved into our life, you know, that it happens to be our name, so, and my name happened to be Patlijan, in our home too. Well, when I met Angus, I was studying in Stirling University and he was working. So early days of courtship, I thought, you know, I better cook something for him. That's how we show how we care in my culture. And this is dates back to 1995. So pre-internet, pre-WhatsApp, pre-everything. So I called mother in Istanbul to get the stuffed aubergine recipe, karnıyarık. And mom said, oh gosh, you have aubergine, patlıcan, which means patlıcan. You need to cut patlıcan, do this to patlıcan, la la la. And Angus, sitting across me, hears all about the patlıcan words and said, gosh, Özlem, what is this patlıcan you've been talking about? Passionately, I said, that's the main ingredient of the dish I'm hoping to cook for you. If I can get it right, that's your dinner. And he said, it sounds rather nice. If you don't mind, I'll call you Patlijan from now on. My name is Patlijan, short patlı even.
And the vegetarian version is the imam bayeldi, which of course is one of Turkey's most favorite and famous dishes. Now, there's lots of stories about what imam bayeldi means, but apparently it was made for the imam.
Yes, the priest.
And he fainted because it was just so delicious.
Yes.
What's your take on the story?
I think so. And some story says it's because, you know, he thought, oh gosh, there's so much olive oil and they will get bankrupt or something. But I believe that he was just so ecstatic about how delicious it is. And zeytinyağlı is one of my favorite categories, chapters in the book. It is that wonderful way of enjoying vegetables, gently poaching in a bit of water and olive oil and let the vegetables sing. You really understand and appreciate the flavor of aubergine, patlijan. There is no hiding behind sauce. It's just a little bit of, you know, lemon juice, perhaps some herbs, seasoning, and you really taste that flesh of beautiful aubergine. And one of the things I love about zeytinyağlı is that they actually taste even better the next day. There's a lovely charred with onions, peppers, a little rice cooked in olive oil in the recipe that I cook on repeat. It gets ready in 30 minutes and it's actually, if any remaining leftovers, it's lovely next day. It's cold, or you can crack a few eggs like my dad would do, you know. So it's a very sort of lovely way to enjoy, and healthy and practical.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I think I would take most from the Mediterranean and the East Mediterranean diet is the use of leftovers and vegetable. And it's very much about zero waste, isn't it? It's
absolutely
a very sort of frugal diet, but delicious because it's about using absolutely everything. Just tell us a little bit about the cabbage rolls with the bulgur, pomegranate, molasses and kapuska. Is that how you pronounce it?
Kapuska, yes.
Kapuska.
A lovely sarma. Again, as you say, a really lovely example of no waste Turkish kitchen, which I really try to highlight quite a bit in the book, as well as sustainability. Nothing is wasted. That's how we grow up. You know, if we made lahana sarması, cabbage rolls, the hard stalks would always be saved. They would be chopped, sauteed with onions and garlic and whatnot. And then either cooked together with sarma, and you could add grains like bulgur or rice. And so you get two meals in one dish, really. And to be honest, I call kapuska a deconstructed sarma. So all the beautiful flavors of sarma in there with less work. Kapuska actually means cabbage in Russian. So you could sense that all the influences that we had, especially during the Ottoman Empire times. But I love the rituals of sarma and dolma making too. Again, going back to family getting together, anane, dede, grandparents, mom and dad, whoever is around would be a part of that ritual. Someone would make tea and coffees. You can get all the daily gossip. I loved waiting for dolma to cook, and just because we would always, as children, pick up from the pan to test whether it's cooked with a little bit of yogurt on top. That's still my favorite meal. And I think it's lovely. It's frugal. It's great value. You can literally use any large leaf. Another thing I try to underline in sebze, I'm not precious that this is my recipe, you need to follow it A to Z. No, recipes for me is really guidelines. I would love readers to take inspiration from it and really adapt to their diet. Whatever you have in your fridge, you should be able to use it, and you could make it your own, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we are beginning to do that. And I think that the Mediterranean diet informs a lot of that. I'm thinking about Turkish eggs, which has become a bit of a staple in Britain.
Chilber, isn't it? Yes.
We love our breakfast, and your final food moment is the family Turkish breakfast. But have you noticed that we use a lot of Turkish ideas for our kind of Saturday brunch? You know, it's about, you know, making breakfast a little bit more special. Let's go Turkish.
Yeah. Oh, that sings to my heart. You're right. Chilber took over the world. I think New York Times shared my recipe and that was it. Everyone's making chilber. And funnily enough, chilber, Turkish eggs, dear Nigella also did that in her version beautifully. It is actually a meze that's back to the Ottoman times, that people have it with a little bit of drink and appetizer and whatnot. So when you go back to Turkey, you don't actually see chilber as a breakfast item on tables, funnily enough. But thank goodness, the whole world knows about it. As I try to say in sebze, for me and for many Turks, kahvaltı, breakfast, is a really special meal that we can actually have it all day. It doesn't have to be brunch. It doesn't have to be just, breakfast. The recipes are so lovely and easy and delicious that you can literally eat for a light supper too. But again, going back to the memories of having breakfast, that's again a highlight, a weekend breakfast. You're by the Bosphorus, that water strait in Istanbul. Family gathers, you have your newspapers, unrushed. You have a sip of chai, a bite to simit, or a bit of börek, or some gözleme, some clotted cream or honey, some dried fig jam from sebze, and converse and share how your day has been. It's a real special special moment for us. And then you wash it down with Turkish coffee at the end. It is a special thing. And I always think also the Turks living abroad, there's quite a lot of them at the moment. Our food has this incredible power, really, to connect to heritage, to connect to memories. And I always think my children's connection with Turkey is always through food. My son is a 20-year-old university student, Loughborough University, and he makes a really mean gözleme. But you know what he says to me? Mommy, I love it. Çok güzel, harika. But it really reminds me of my time with anneanne, because she used to make it for me. That statement is so precious for a Turkish mom living abroad with two kids and giving a little bit of heritage to them. So, you know, I really hope there is something in it for families live abroad to be able to connect, help their children to connect with their roots, with their belonging. Have a bit of a sense of place.
It breaks down the barriers, doesn't it? It makes people so proud of their heritage. I mean, what do you hear? There were so many wonderful Turkish people at your launch. What did they say about Sebze?
I think they really felt that sense of warmth, heritage. And for that, I'm very thankful to Hardy Ground to understand the value of heritage. I just didn't want to do just a recipe book. Of course, it had to be practical, which I'm very passionate. I'm a cookery teacher, after all. The recipes really need to work. But you need to really talk about legacy, talk about a bit of heritage. Where do they come from? The stories. That makes it a book that many of those food writer friends said they were taking sebze to bed to read. Have a look at those lovely photos and immerse themselves and take a virtual trip to Turkey to really imagine the pazar, imagine the gözleme stall, imagine the vastness of the Ottoman Empire at that time. So in that respect, it is a very special book that made us very proud. And hearing all those wonderful words from people I admire, love, as well as readers all around the world. It's translated into Dutch coming up in August, in German next year. It's number one, I think, in Australia at the moment, and US. It's just being available worldwide is a huge dream come true, to be honest. And I'm very grateful to all readers and everyone who supported this special book.
Thanks for listening. Head over to my Substack to try out one of the recipes from Özlem's Food Moments, and then have a listen to her special Cooking the Book Spotify playlist, inspired from her DJ years at university. And I'll see you next week.